Well, we all know that we can't do anything without the help of the Lord. I could stand up here and I could read scripture and I could quote on it, but it doesn't do a thing for you unless it comes from the Holy Spirit, and unless the Holy Spirit is on you. So we pray now for the Holy Spirit to come down and touch the hearts of everyone here, that it will open your hearts to understand the Word has given to you. Amen. You know, my church that I go to is even smaller than this one. If you think you got a small church, you need to come up and see ours sometime. We could welcome, because even one would almost double our membership. You think I'm joking? Last night I preached to two people. Amen. Toward the end, our couple that always comes late showed up. But that's all right. But we praise the Lord for everything. And when it comes to working on a church, I know what that's all about. Because if I don't do it, and my wife doesn't do it, it don't get done. We have to hire someone to do it if we don't do it. We don't have a bunch of young people like you are. See, the ones we got are old, decrepit, and you know, they just can't do it. You know, they're willing. You call them out, and they'll come and they'll wash the walls and they'll wash the windows, but that's about the extent of it. Bless their hearts, they mean well, and they do the best they can. But you know, I look out here, and of course we all realize that when you're preaching in your own church, you have the most friendly people you're ever going to meet in a congregation. And this one is the second friendliest. I go down to the rescue mission once or twice a month. You stand up there and you look out at all these faces, and you preach to them. You see the heads going up and down, nodding. Yes, yes, they're agreeing with what you say. But you see others looking back at you, and they're so lost, they don't know what's happening. And you wonder sometimes, even those who's sitting there nodding their head and agreeing with you. Everyone, we're told, should read the Bible. But we also know there's enough fine, distinguished people in here to know that reading the Bible is not studying the Bible. What a world of difference there is. But still, if you read the Bible every day, the Lord's going to impart information to you, whether you want it or not. Today I want to ask you a question. Are you too good to be saved? I assume everyone in here is saved, aren't they? Yeah, everyone saved? Praise the Lord, I would hope so. But every once in a while we got to step back and we got to ask ourselves, are we really saved? Yeah, I know what the Word says about it, or at least I'm learning what the Word says about it. You know, there's three conditions of salvation. First, you have to confess with your mouth. Believe in your heart. And accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And then you will be saved. But there's two things if you're going to stay saved. You have to endure to the end. It isn't enough you were saved 40 years ago. You got to stay saved all the way through. There's one other thing that's very important for salvation. Because you can get saved And you can keep on going to church right through to the end and lose it on one other thing. For eternal salvation, you have to obey God. The three things of salvation. Yeah, we've all heard it. Romans chapter 10, verse 9 tells us that we have to confess. We have to believe. All I got to do is find my right marker, huh? There it is. Chapter 10, verse 9. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus Christ, and shalt believe in thine heart. It isn't enough just to step up and confess his name.
That's right. Amen.
You've got to believe it in your heart. You've got to put it deep down inside.
Yes.
That God has raised him from the dead. You've got to remember that. You've got to believe that. Because if God didn't raise him from the dead, you haven't got any hope. You got a charlatan. You got a fake. If you believe all that, if you do that, then you are saved. What does it take to get saved? I know for myself, I'm praying for someone else. Years and years of being away from the Lord, and then I prayed for someone else. I got down on my knees, and I prayed for someone else. And when I got done praying for them, I said, "Help me!" Who said that? Did I really say that? It come out. I never even knew till it came out. I got up, and I went on my way. And the Lord took that, and He started to lead me. And He started to bring me back to Him. I do praise God. Praise God for what He's done for me. Because He's forgiven me. He's forgiven me of all the things I have done. He forgave me for blaspheming Him. And if He can forgive that of me, He can forgive everything of you too.
Amen.
But we have to endure to the end as well. In Matthew 24:13. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. Doesn't do me any good to stand up here and talk to you if I can't prove it in the Scripture. Because if I teach you anything, absolutely anything, that's not of the Word of God, I'm going to be accursed.
Amen.
I'm going to hell. If I find along the way that I have been teaching an untruth, yes, I can get forgiveness of God by confessing and repenting. But it also becomes my duty to try to find each and every one that I spoke to and told that untruth to and try to tell them that wasn't right. I may not find all of them, because if I tell them wrong and they go to hell, I'm responsible. What I teach has to be in the Word. It has to be true. I can't take one passage out of the Bible and make it say what I want it to. You've got people that do that all the time. If it doesn't match from the front to the rear of the Bible, it's not scriptural. But they'll take part back here and they'll say, well, in order to make it fit, well, this contradicts it, but that doesn't matter because that's only an allegory. You know what an allegory is? It's a fable. It's a story. They're saying, that doesn't affect what I'm telling you about the Bible because part of the Bible is nothing but a fairy tale. That's not right. But they do it. In church after church, minister after minister. Minister can stand up here And he can tell you the Word of God for 40 years. And then he can start to change. And if you're not in that Word, you won't catch it. And he'll take you to hell right with him. You have to be in that Word enough to know that when he says something that's not true, that alarm bells are going to go off and lights are going to flash in front of your eyes and God's going to say, go check on that. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 9. Speaking about Jesus, and being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him.
Hear that?
Obey him. It isn't enough to believe in him. It isn't enough to confess your sins to him. You have to obey him. I don't think there's any pastor who hasn't heard all the excuses. If they haven't, you soon will. You say, are you saved? Who, me? Of course I'm saved. Can't you tell that I'm saved? I go to church every time the doors are open. Isn't that true? Does that make me saved? Say, sure I'm saved. Don't you hear me speaking in tongues? Isn't there a false spirit that speaks in tongues also? By your fruit, you shall be known. You only have to be around somebody for a little while and pretty soon the fruit comes out and you see exactly what. Of course I'm saved. God speaks to me every night. You know what that reminds me of? You've all heard Gene Dixon.
Yeah.
Gene Dixon has been on a television show and she was explaining that every night there's a serpent that crawls up her bedpost and speaks to her. God speaks to her from this serpent. She said it. Praise the Lord. You know she's not of the Lord. But her, Edward Casey, Arthur Ford, the name of few, they all tell you that their gift is from God. Of course they're saved. My gift is from God. Look at the miracles he allows me to do. Does this make them from God? Are they saved? Oh yeah, I'm saved. I read the Bible every night. I spend hours. I know it frontwards and backwards. Does that make you saved? Not a bit. If you're saved, you're going to do a lot of those things. You're going to read your Bible. If you're a real believer, you're going to be speaking in tongues. Because the Word says so. One of the signs of a believer. Do you have to speak in tongues in order to go to heaven? No. You don't have to speak in tongues in order to be saved. To be saved, all you have to do is to confess with your mouth and believe in your heart. And if you do that right at this moment, and then fall over dead with a heart attack, you are saved. You're going to heaven. You don't have to go be dipped in water in order to go to heaven. You don't have to speak in tongues to go to heaven. But it's nice to know when you do speak in tongues that you have received the power to go out and do the work for God.
Amen.
To do God's will. To obey God. When you really have that spirit on you, you are going to obey God. It's that little touch. That overfilling. Of the Spirit. The worst thing that ever happened to the Christian faith was when the government said, all right, let's recognize it and everyone can be a Christian. So by decree, they all became Christians. They didn't have to work for it anymore. It's the worst thing that ever happened to the church, to the body of the church, because then you only had a small remnant that came through to the present age. You took whole countries like Spain, like Italy. They all became Catholics. All one faith. They were baptized as a baby. They went out and lived any way they pleased. They were saved. I don't know about how some of you are, but I've been out there and had people tell me, oh yeah, I'm saved, and they're puffing away on cigarettes, and they're down on a drink over here, and then they turn around and they're cussing out somebody there. By their fruits, you'll know them. Say, sure, I've been saved. I've been saved since I was so high, just knee high, coming up. Sure they have. They've been in church that long. They go every time the doors are open. And when they walk in, you can feel that contentious spirit. It's so hard to overcome those spirits when they bring them into the body. To try to get a movement of the Holy Spirit going, because they're fighting it. They don't want it. But we have to obey. What does obey mean? What does God have in mind for you? Oh, I can't take the Sunday school class. I don't know how to do it. I can't take over that class. I'm tied up in other things. Oh, I work Sundays. I can't do this. We need help to work on the church. Is the Lord reaching out and touching your heart and saying, go do it? So, oh no, I can't do that. I'm not feeling good today. How many times have I heard someone say, well, I didn't feel good, so I didn't go to church? There's a lot of reasons where somebody will say, I can't do this. I don't know how. Oh, but I got all these little kids of my own to take care of. How can I take care of the nursery? Aren't they the ideal one to do it? Say, oh, well, I want to get away from these little ones. I got enough problems of my own. Yeah. What other ways? The Lord says, I want you to go down here and talk to this people. Oh, I can't today, Lord. My favorite soap opera is coming on. Oh no, Lord, I can't do that. I don't have any transportation to get there. No, Lord, I can't go down to the prison. I'm afraid of it down there. No, I can't go down here to the rescue mission and talk to them. That's nothing but bums down there. Bums? Where did the Lord go? Where was He seen? Was He in the palace? He was with those sinners, wasn't He? Amen, He was. Lord be praised. So what do we have? They send me out, and the Lord says, I want you to go and study. I can fight it, or I can accept it. If I fight it, He may come on me time and again and say, Jack, I want you to go and do this. Eventually, He's going to get tired of saying, Jack, go do that. It's like when my kids were growing up, and I walk outside and I look at my garden area, and it looks like it needs some watering, so I see two of my boys, one over here, Carl, and one over there, John, and I say, hey, John, I want you to go over and water that garden. He doesn't move. I call again, hey, John, go over and water that garden. Maybe he'll start to move then. Goes a little way, stops, get distracted. I look over and I see he didn't get there yet. I may call to him again, John, go over there. Eventually, I'm going to get tired of calling John. I'm going to say, Carl, go over and water that. John's certainly not in my favor then, is he? He comes aside when I get hold of him. I say, John, why didn't you go over there? You get up to heaven, the Lord's going to say the same thing to you. I told you to go over and do that. Why didn't you do it? What are you going to say to the Lord? What can you say to him? Say, Lord, you can't say, Lord, I didn't know you wanted me to do it. Because you know when the Lord tells you to do something. I had one preacher tell me how she got to be a preacher. She got saved. And she said the Lord put it on her to go and preach. And she said, no, I can't do that. I won't do it. She told me how many times the Lord gave her visions. Gave her visions of heaven. Gave her visions of hell. Finally, one particular vision worked, and she went out and started to preach. Her and her husband went out and bought a tent, and they started going around and preaching. She didn't go to a school. She got everything out of the Word. Do you have to go to school to do what the Lord tells you? No. But remember that Moses spent 80 years in training. 80 years he was trained to do the job that the Lord wanted him to do. And still at that time he said, Lord, I'm not ready for this. I don't know how to do it. Didn't the Lord get kind of ticked off about it? If I tell you you could do it, then you can do it. We have to accept any little thing he tells us to do, whether it's to go talk to a neighbor, to pick up a phone and call somebody. He doesn't send all of us to stand behind a pulpit. But you've got your own little pulpit as you go around through life. If you're really one of his, your light is going to shine. And everyone is going to know it. Where I work, everyone knows it. I don't have to say much to them. They know it. Yeah, Jack's studying for the ministry. Jack found a wallet out there, turned it in. There was $1,000 in it. Jack is always finding wallets out there and turning them in. I never could understand why a man goes in a restaurant, takes his wallet out, and he sets it down on the next table. Then he gets up, picks up his stuff, he walks out, he leaves it over there. Not just men, women do it too. They hang their purse up over in a chair way over there. If you're one of God's, your light is going to shine. Because you've already confessed with your mouth. You've already believed in your heart. And what a world of difference between believing in your head and believing in your heart. Amen. I grew up, yeah, I know about Jesus. I know about God. I was raised in a Catholic faith. I went to a Catholic church, Catholic school. For 9-10 years, I went to a Catholic school. Minimum, 1 hour a day, you got religious training. Did that prepare me for here? I don't know. Only the Lord knows. All I know for certain is that He kept His hand on me all the time I was out away from Him. When I walked away from Him like the prodigal son, He kept His hand on me. I'm a poor little boy with a 9th grade education. That's it. The day I turned 16, I quit school. Walked away. What have I got? At the best, I got a GED certificate. Is that any good today? Uh-uh. If you don't have at least 6 years college and 15 years experience by the time you're 12 years old, they don't want you. And the older you get, the harder it is to find a job somewhere that pays you anywhere near even minimum wage. But the Lord provides.
Amen.
Because I confess with my mouth, I believe in my heart. Not only that, but I'm trying my best to obey Him. And if I keep on obeying Him, I will make it to the end. Whether I fall over dead and meet the Lord, or whether He comes down in the rapture and takes me out, I'm going to be with the Lord. And I figure, I'm going to be with the Lord at least within the next 50 years. By then I would be 106, and I don't figure I'd live past that. We're getting closer and closer. Amen. The Lord's given us so much. I could see as I went down through life, I had the best jobs, no education, but I made almost $1,000 a week. He gave me 5 wonderful children. Praise the Lord. He gave me a wife that stayed with me. 36, 37 years. I lose count. You know, if I lose a finger, I lose count. Sometimes I got to take my shoes off so I can count higher. I don't think I'm a highly educated man. You know, when I was young, I used to think I knew it all. By the time I was middle-aged, I didn't think it anymore. I knew it. But now I'm absolutely convinced I don't know anything. I've been improving right through. I look out there and everything I have belongs to the Lord. He takes care of me. Right after I became saved, I told my wife we were going to start to give a tithe. Man, she put holes in that ceiling. We can't pay the bills now. Well, we gave a tithe, and the bills got paid.
Amen.
I quit one job because they wanted me to work on Sundays. I left over $5 an hour. I went down to $3 an hour. The Lord had a job for me the next day. Praise the Lord. I worked for $3 an hour. My wife says, how are we going to live? We live. Why did He put me there? Because I was able to testify to some people that needed it. I'm going to obey the Lord. If that's where He wants me to go, He's going to open the door for me, and that's where I go. Right now, He's got me in another place. And I'm going to live through this because He's going to take care of me too. Praise the Lord. They've got me down to 3 to 4 hours a day and 3 days a week. But I'm going to live on it because the Lord's going to take care of me. Praise the Lord. But I started to say, before I got distracted by this truth, and that the Lord did for me, and He showed me that He was with me and protecting me. Right after I started giving a tithe to the church, giving back 10% of what was His to start with, I was installing a furnace, and there I cut out a hole. 16 inches square. And I'm working in this little alcove and I put a board across it and I'm standing on that board working overhead and that board broke. You know what happened to me, don't you? Well, I dropped into that hole. I had one leg down, and when I quit moving, my right leg was doubled up against my chest. The edge of the hole came across my shin. Now, you know, that's a bad place to hit it, isn't it? Anyone who's ever got kicked in the shin knows. Completely into the dent that was there on my shin. And there was no pain. And there was no swelling. Could that be anything but the Lord? Amen. There was a sign. I'm with you. I'm protecting you. You have only to trust in the Lord. If you obey Him in everything He tells you to do, then you are going to finish the race. Paul tells you, you have to finish the race. If you run almost to the end and then get sidetracked to go smell a flower, you're not going to make it. I had a businessman tell me how he was a preacher until he inherited some money. And then he got so tied up in this money and trying to invest it, he ended up, he lost being a preacher because he says, I spent more time with the money than I did trying to prepare my sermons. So he got booted out as a preacher. He started three different businesses and every one of them went down the tube and he lost all of his money besides. This was his word to me. So there he was standing there telling me he's no longer a preacher and he no longer has any money because he got the money to start with. You have to endure to the end. Shortly after I was saved, I was speaking regular with the Lord. And my wife had gone into town and I was supposed to meet her and my daughter at a certain place at a certain time and we were going to go have dinner. And I was getting off work just about in time to go meet them. And I felt the Lord tell me to go up to the hospital and visit a particular man. And it flashed through my mind how my wife was. She was already ticked off about me being with the Lord and all this. And I said, well, Lord, can it wait till tomorrow? I never got an answer. I didn't go to the hospital. I went to meet my wife. Boy, did I get chastised. Believe me, I got chastised, and I deserved it. I made up my mind from that time on, I'm following the Lord. Whatever He tells me to do, I'm going to do. If He tells me to go stand on my head, I'm going to go stand on my head. Because He has a reason for it. And He's given me reasons to go up and visit people. I don't always know them. Or sometimes, like one man I had worked with before, but I didn't work with him anymore. Why should I go up and visit him? But the Lord made sure I knew he ended up in a hospital, so I went up to visit him. It may save that man because I obeyed the Lord. I don't know what's in the mind of the Lord. I say, Lord, all of my children are not saved. Send somebody to them. Send a worker to them. Water that seed in them. Draw them. In return, Lord, I'll go where you want me to. I'll talk to someone that you want me to. And he does. Just the other day, I'm driving down the road. I see a speck way down at the end. Way down there somewhere, and a voice starts saying, pick him up. Pick him up. Pick him up. I picked him up. That boy raised the questions. That boy brought up the subject. Are you a Christian? Do you believe in this? yes, and it opened the conversation that I could testify to it. Praise the Lord. You have to be willing to do what the Lord wants you to. I tell the Lord, I'm willing to do anything you want. If the way to serve you is to be crippled, then I'll be crippled. If I'm to die in order to serve you, then I'll die. Anything you want, Lord, is all right with me. As a human being, I don't want to be crippled. I don't want to go around as a paraplegic. But if it serves the Lord's will, I'm willing. And sometimes all it requires is that you be willing. Willing to serve the Lord. It doesn't take a whole lot. If you believe in your heart in Jesus Christ, if you believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is God the Son, then you have no choice but to fall down on your face and worship Him. There is no other way. If you truly believe that He is God, you will fall on your face and worship Him. And then you will do all you can to serve Him. So if you don't serve Him, if you don't obey Him, you're saying, God, I don't believe that you really have the power you said you have. Isn't that true? He doesn't send every one of us out to some big fancy ministry somewhere. We're not all supposed to stand up on television in front of a million people or a billion people and talk to them. Some, like my pastor, have been sent to a little church that has an adherent of only 6 people. But those 6 people need Him. They need a shepherd. They need somebody to lead them. For without someone to lead them, they're going to get lost. They're going to scatter. That we obey is of more importance than anything else. Of all the commandments that has ever been given throughout the entire Bible, that we obey is the one thing that will always bring us salvation. For if we obey, we're going to follow His Word. Whether we know His Word or not, if we obey God, He will excuse everything else. If we obey God. Because if we obey Him, we recognize Him for what He is. Our Master. Our God. I can't say whether He's your God or not. I believe He is. All I can say is, He is my God. He is the only God. There is no other. He was here before time began, and He'll be here after time ends. Praise the Lord. And God bless every one of you tonight. Amen. And I give it back to you.